Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. Christmas. Welcome to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, the campus community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from the unceded ancestral territory of the Hulkamilam and Squamish speaking peoples. I'm Jesse. It's Christmas, and I hope you are having a lovely morning, opening presents, taking in the sights, whatever it is you do on Christmas. If you celebrate, if not, I hope you're having a lovely day doing whatever you're doing. Today, I am bringing you something a little special and fun. And because I'm recording this in the past, I am going to bring you something featuring the ghost of Christmas past. That's right. It's A Christmas Carol. And this is an audio drama that was... Well, it's an audio drama, but it's also an adaptation. It's also a live stage on, like, a live production of A Christmas Carol from the 40s featuring Lionel Barrymore. And this is from an era where they used to just do full-on radio productions. And Lionel Barrymore notes at the end that this is his fourth or fifth year doing this show. They do it live every time. It's crazy. It's not just pre-recorded. I mean, now it's pre-recorded. But anyway, I hope you enjoy this. It's a classic for a reason. And I'll be back next week with something else. Merry Christmas.
The makers of Campbell Soups present The Campbell Playhouse. Orson Welles, producer.
Father's Noel, the angel.
Good evening. This is Orson Welles. There are clearly a number of ways in which A Christmas Carol could be introduced. Myself, I am most struck by the happy fortune that enables us on this Christmas Eve to present Mr. Lionel Barrymore, the best-loved actor of our time, in the world's best-loved Christmas story, A Christmas Carol. It is the American way, as we know, to establish traditions quickly where popular instinct and sentiment pronounce them sound. And so it is that today, actually only the fifth anniversary of Mr. Lionel Barrymore's first playing of the part of Ebenezer Scrooge for the Campbell Playhouse, there is, I think, in all America, nothing more eagerly awaited, more firmly rooted in the hearts of the radio family that numbers millions, that this yearly performance of A Christmas Carol. A Christmas Carol, as Charles Dickens wrote it, has by common consent long been a classic. Mr. Lionel Barrymore's appearance in it is rapidly becoming one. Marley was dead to begin with. There's no doubt whatever about that. The register of his burial was signed by the clergyman, the clerk, the undertaker, and the chief mourner. Scrooge signed it. And Scrooge's name was good upon change for anything he chose to put his hand to. Old Marley was as dead as a doornail. Scrooge knew he was dead? Of course he did. Scrooge and Marley were partners for I don't know how many years. Oh, but he was a tight-fisted hand at the grindstone with Scrooge. A squeezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, clutching, covetous old sinner. Once upon a time, of all the good days in the year, on Christmas Eve, old Scrooge sat busy in his counting house, a grim, cheerless place if ever there was one. The door of Scrooge's counting house was open, that he might keep his eye upon his clerk, Bob Cratchit, who in a cold and dismal little cell beyond worked at his ledgers.
19, 20, 21, 22. Merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. 23, 26, 29. Christmas Day. 11, 13, 17, 7, carry 1.
Bob Cratchit.
Yes, Mr. Scrooge.
Stop that infernal caterwauling.
Yes, sir. 9, 15, 17, 29, carry 1.
Impudence. Singing their idiotic Christmas carols at my very door. Go somewhere else and bellow your blasted carols, or I'll give you in charge.
Sorry, Governor. It's an old custom at Christmas time, you know.
Yes, and I don't want any of your old customs. Take your fellow fools and go away. Christmas. Blah.
Right, sir. Merry Christmas anyway, sir.
A Merry Christmas, Uncle. A Merry Christmas, Bob.
A Merry Christmas, Mr. Fred.
God save you, Uncle.
Ah, humbug.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle? Now, I'm sure you don't mean that.
I mean just that. Exactly that. Merry Christmas. What right have you to be merry? What reason have you? You're poor enough.
Well, what right have you to be dismal about Christmas, Uncle? You're rich enough.
Ah.
Now, Uncle, don't be cross.
Well, what else can I be when I live in such a world of fools? What's Christmas to you but a time for paying bills without money? Merry Christmas. A time for finding yourself a year older and not an hour richer. If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips would be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart. He should.
Uncle?
Nephew, keep your Christmas in your own way and let me keep it in mine.
Keep it, but you don't keep it, Uncle.
Well, let me leave it alone then. What do you want? A Christmas gift, I've no doubt.
I came to wish you a Merry Christmas, Uncle.
A Merry Christmas. Much good may Christmas do you. Much good it ever has done you.
There are many things from which I derive good by which I have not profited materially, I dare say, Uncle. Christmas among the rest. But I have always thought of Christmas time as a good time. A kind, forgiving, charitable, pleasant time. And therefore, Uncle, though it has never put a scrap of gold or silver in my pocket, I believe it has done me good and will do me good. And I say, God bless it.
God bless Christmas. Hurrah!
Let me hear another sound out of you there, Bob Cratchit, and you'll keep your Christmas by losing your situation.
Yes, sir.
As to you, nephew, I wonder you don't go into Parliament. You talk enough nonsense.
Don't be angry, Uncle. I want nothing from you. I ask nothing of you. Why can't we be friends?
Good afternoon.
Well, I'm sorry you feel that way. I've tried. A Merry Christmas to you, Uncle.
Good afternoon.
And a Happy New Year, too.
Ah, humbug.
And a Merry Christmas to you, Bob, and the missus, and to Tiny Tim.
Thank you, Mr. Fred. Same to you, sir. Good day, sir.
Good day, Bob.
Nonsense. Twaddle. Blummery. Talking of Christmas and not two sixpences to jingle together in his trousers pocket. You there, Bob Cratchit. Come here. What are you doing there?
I was only putting a bit more coal on the fire, Mr. Scrooge, seeing it's so cold in there, sir.
Well, you put that coal back into the scuttle. A fire! A fire, indeed. I can tell you, if you use coal at that rate, you and I will soon be parting company, Bob Cratchit. You understand that? There's many a young fellow like your situation, you know.
Well, I'm sorry, sir. My fingers were getting a little stiff with the cold.
Then put on your mittens. There's someone at the door. See who it is.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
This is the firm of Scrooge and Marley.
Yes, sir.
I should like to see the head of the firm, if I may.
Oh, very good, sir.
What is it?
A gentleman to see you, Mr. Scrooge.
Huh?
Have I the pleasure of addressing Mr. Scrooge or Mr. Marley?
Marley's been dead these 7 years tonight. I'm Scrooge.
Well, now, Mr. Scrooge, at this season of the year, it's only fitting that we who are more fortunate should raise a fund to buy the poor some meat and drink and means of warmth. You may not believe it, sir, but many thousands are now in want of common necessities. And hundreds of thousands are in want of the simplest comfort, sir.
Are there no prisoners?
There are plenty of prisons, sir.
And the workhouses? They're still in operation, I trust.
I wish I could say they are not, but they are, sir.
The treadmill and the poor law are in full vigor, then?
Both very busy, sir.
Oh, well, I'm very glad to hear that. I was afraid from what you said at first that something had occurred to stop them in their useful cause.
No, sir, all these institutions that you mention are flourishing. But it's nevertheless true that some additional provision for the poor and the destitute must be made. A few of us upon change are endeavoring to raise such a fund, you see. And what shall I put you down for?
Nothing.
Oh, I see. You wish to be anonymous, sir.
I wish to be let alone. I don't make merry myself at Christmas time, and I can't afford to keep a lot of idle people and make them merry. I help support the establishments that take care of the poor. They cost enough. Let those who are badly off go there.
Many can't go there, sir. And many would rather die.
Well, then, my advice to them is to do so and decrease the surplus population. Besides, I've only your word for it that all this is so.
It's the truth, Mr. Scrooge.
So be it, then. It's not my business. It's enough for a man to understand his own business and not to interfere with other people's. Mine occupies me constantly. Good afternoon, sir.
I quite understand, Mr. Scrooge.
Cratchit, show this gentleman out.
Yes, sir. This way, please. Sir, I couldn't help overhearing. I should like to contribute threepence.
Cratchit!
Yes, sir. It isn't much, but it's all I can afford. But there are others in worse situation than I.
You're a generous fellow. I wish I might say so of your employer.
Cratchit!
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Yes, sir.
Merry Christmas. Close the door.
Yes, sir. I have closed it, sir. 24, 31, 1 and carry 3. A new scarlet tippet for Tiny Tim. And a comb for Martha. 33, 3 and carry 3. A hair ribbon for Belinda. 4, 7, 12, 15.
I suppose you want the entire day tomorrow.
If it's quite convenient, sir.
It's not convenient and it's not fair. But I suppose I can't do anything about it. If I was to stop half a crown of your wages, you'd think yourself very ill-used, I'll be bound.
Well, sir, I...
And yet you don't think me ill-used when I pay a day's wages for no work?
It's only once a year, sir.
Once a year. Once a year, indeed. A fine excuse for picking a man's pocket every 25th of December. But I suppose it's no good talking. You must have the whole day. Well, see that you're here all the earlier the next morning. You understand?
Oh, I will, sir. I will, sir, indeed. Good night, sir, and Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
The office was closed in a twinkling, and Bob Cratchit, with the long ends of his white comforter dangling below his waist, for he boasted no greatcoat, went down a slide on Cornhill 20 times in honor of its being Christmas Eve, and then ran home to Camden Town as hard as he could pelt to play with his family at Blind Man's Buff. Scrooge, on the other hand, took his melancholy dinner in his usual melancholy tavern. Having read all the newspapers and spent the rest of the evening with his banker's book, went to his dismal house. Darkness is cheap and Scrooge likes it. The yard was so dark that even Scrooge, who knew its every stone, had to grope with his hands through the fog and the frost to find the door. Scrooge walked through his rooms to see that all was right. Sitting room, bedroom, lumber room, all as they should be. Nobody under the table, nobody under the sofa. Nobody under the bed, nobody in the closet. Closed the door. Locked himself in, double locked himself in. And took off his cravat, put on his dressing gown and slippers and his nightcap. And sat down before the fire to take his gruel.
Marley, I could have sworn. so. Oh, ah, humbug. Marley's been dead these 7 years. Humbug. It's all humbug. What I need is a good night. What's that? Someone's in the pine cellar. But the door's locked and double locked. It's coming. It's coming closer. Outside my door. Ah, I won't believe it. It's humbug still.
Ebenezer Scrooge. Ebenezer Scrooge.
Oh, no. What do you want with me?
I want much of you, Ebenezer.
Who are you?
Ask me who I was.
Well, you are very particular for a ghost. All right. Who were you then?
In life, I was your partner, Jacob Marley.
Jacob Marley? But you're dead. You died 7 years ago.
7 years ago, this very night.
You are a ghost, then?
What's wrong, Ebenezer? Don't you believe in me?
I do not.
You doubt your senses, Ebenezer?
Yes, because a little thing affects them. A slight disorder of the stomach makes them cheats. You can't be a ghost. You may be an undigested bit of beef, a blot of mustard, a crumb of cheese, a fragment of an underdone potato. There may be more gravy than grave about you, whatever you are. Humbug, I tell you. Humbug. Excuse me, Jason. Excuse me. I do believe in you. You are a ghost, Jacob.
Thank you.
But what? Why do you walk the earth, Jacob? Why do you come to me?
It is required of every man that the spirit within him should walk abroad among his fellow men and travel far and wide to witness what it cannot share but might have shared on earth and turn to happiness.
Oh, tell me, Jacob, what is that chain you wear around you?
I wear the chain I forged in life. I made it link by link and yard by yard by my own free will. Is its pattern strange to you, Ebenezer?
Cash boxes, keys, padlocks, ledgers, purses.
Yours was as heavy and as long as this 7 years ago. And you have labored on it since, Ebenezer.
Oh, Jacob, speak comfort to me.
Comfort I have none to give. I cannot rest. I cannot stay. I cannot linger. Weary journeys lie before me.
You travel fast?
Yes, Ebenezer, on the wings of the wind.
7 years dead and traveling all the time?
7 years, Ebenezer. 7 years of remorse. Ebenezer, do you know that no space of regret can make amends for one life's opportunities misused?
But you were always a good man of business, Jacob.
Business? Mankind was my business. Charity, mercy, benevolence, they were all my business. The dealings of my trade were but a drop of water in the comprehensive ocean of my business.
Oh, Jacob, don't take on so. Jacob.
Listen to me, Ebenezer.
I listen to you, Jacob. Go on, Jacob, speak to me. But don't be so flowery.
Ebenezer, I am here to warn you that you have yet a chance and hope of escaping my fate. Do you hear that, Ebenezer?
Yes, Jacob. You always were a good friend to me, Jacob. Thank you, Jacob. But go on. Go on. Go on. How shall I escape? Oh, I'm afraid, Jacob.
You will be haunted by three spirits.
Is that the only chance and hope, Jacob?
It is your only chance and hope.
Well, then I think I'd rather not.
Without their visits, you cannot hope to shun the path I tread. Expect the first tomorrow. when the bell tolls one.
Couldn't I take them all at once and have it over, Jacob?
Ebenezer, look that for your own sake you remember what has passed between us. And remember, when the bell tolls one, look for the first spirit.
Marley. Jacob Marley.
Scrooge awoke. He was lying on his bed fully dressed. Suddenly the curtains of his bed were drawn aside. Scrooge found himself face to face with the unearthly visitor who drew them. As close to it as I am now to you. And I am standing in the spirit at your elbow. It was a strange figure, like a child. Yet not so like a child as like an old man.
Ebenezer Scrooge.
Who is that?
Ebenezer Scrooge, I have come for you.
You are the spirit, sir, whose coming was foretold me?
I am that spirit.
What are you?
I am the ghost of Christmas past.
Long past?
No, your past.
But what do you want of me? What brings you here to haunt me?
Your welfare, Ebenezer Scrooge. Rise and walk with me.
Oh, no, you're not out of the window. I can't do that. I'll fall down. I'm not a spirit. I'm mortal. I'll fall.
Bear but a touch of my hand upon your heart, and you shall be upheld in more than this. Come, follow me.
What's become of the city? And there's snow upon the ground. Where are we?
These are the shadows of the things that have been. You recognize this countryside?
Oh, I know every inch of it. Every rock, every tree.
And that bleak building over there?
That building. I was a boy there. Yes. I went to school in that horrible place.
Do you recollect that path?
I could walk it blindfold.
Strange you forgot it so many years. Come, let us go closer. Look through the window into that cold, barren room. What do you see, Ebenezer Scrooge?
I see a boy.
A solitary child, neglected by his family, alone.
Yes, yes, I see. I know that boy. Oh, I was so lonely. Poor boy.
Your lip is trembling, Scrooge. And what is that on your cheek?
It's nothing. Nothing at all. I wish I... it's too late for that now.
What's the matter?
Nothing. The Waits came to my door singing Christmas carols last night. There was a boy like that among them. A poor, thin, pale boy in a ragged coat. I'd like to have given him something, that's all.
Is that all? Come, Ebenezer Scrooge. Let us see another Christmas. Do you know this place, Ebenezer Scrooge?
Know it? Why, this is the counting house where I was apprenticed.
Listen.
Choose your partners.
Why, it's my old master. Bless his heart, old Fezziwig. My master, alive again. And the host of one of his Christmas parties. Listen to it.
Spread the needle and back to your places.
And there's Dick Wilkins. Poor Dick. Dear, 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 yes. And look, there's Mrs. Fezziwig herself, looking younger than any of them. And the table's all loaded with roast and cider and mince pie and beer. Oh, what a jolly time we used to have.
That carefree young man with the light heart and the gay smile. Do you recognize him?
Yes, yes, yes. Merciful heaven. How happy I was then.
A small matter for old Fezziwig to make those silly folks so full of joy.
Small matter? Small indeed.
Isn't it? He has spent only a few pounds of your mortal money. Is that so much that he deserves praise?
Ah, it's not that. It's not that, Spirit. Old Fezziwig has the power to make us happy or unhappy, to make our service light or heavy. His power lies in words and looks, in things so tiny it's impossible to count them up. The happiness he gives is quite as great as if it cost her.
What is the matter?
Nothing. Nothing at all, Spirit.
Something, I think.
No, no.
Speak.
No. Only, it's just that I should like to be able to say a word or two to my clerk, Bob Cratchit, just now, that's all.
My time grows short, and we have yet another journey to make.
Where now?
Come. This is our last visit to the past, Ebenezer. Here, in this little room, with a fair young girl by your side. Do you recognize yourself, Ebenezer?
Oh, no, 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 no. Spare me this.
You're older now, a man in the prime of life. Your face has begun to wear the signs of care and avarice. Your eyes are greedy. The eager, restless eyes of a miser.
No, no, please.
She knows it, too. That girl by your side. There are tears in her eyes.
It matters little, Ebenezer, to you. Very little. I know that.
Belle, have I changed towards you?
When we were engaged, we were both poor.
Was it better then? Better to be poor?
Better at least to be happy. You're changed. You were another man then.
I was a boy. Do you blame me because I've grown wiser? Have I ever tried to break our engagement?
In words, no. Never.
In what, then?
In a changed nature. In an altered spirit. In everything that made my love of any value in your sight. So I release you from your promise.
Belle.
Oh, at first it may cause you pain to lose me. A very brief pain. But soon it will be dim, like a half-remembered dream. An unprofitable dream. And you will be glad to be awake from such a dream. May you be happy in the life you have chosen, Ebenezer. For the love of him you once were.
Spirit, it's enough. Show me no more. Take me home.
These were shadows of the things that have been. That they are what they are. Do not blame me.
No more. No more.
One shadow more. Come. Do you see this man, Ebenezer Scrooge? This man might have been you. And the woman beside him, your wife. And that girl. That girl might have been your daughter, Ebenezer Scrooge. She might have called you father. She might have been a springtime in the haggard winter of your life.
Spirit, let me go. Show me no more.
Listen now, while they speak, Ebenezer.
Belle, I saw an old friend of yours today.
Who was it?
Yes.
How can I? It... Oh, I know. Mr. Scrooge.
Mr. Scrooge it was. I passed his office window. It wasn't shuttered. And there was a candle inside, so I couldn't help seeing him. His partner, Marley, lies at the point of death, I hear. And there Scrooge sat all alone. Quite alone in the world, I do believe.
Spirit, spirit, I can bear no more. Leave me. Haunt me no more. Take me back. Take me back.
Feast of Stephen, when the snow lay round about, deep and crisp and even.
are listening to the Campbell Playhouse, bringing you tonight the